Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31, verse 8. And you're thinking, wait a minute, Proverbs 31, it's not Mother's Day. That's next week. No, no, we're not looking at that part. We're looking at something different. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31, verse 8. We're going to look at several different passages today, but we'll kind of focus there. So while you're finding that, let me pray for us one more time. Father, again, we're just thankful that you've gathered us here together this morning. Lord, we long to worship you. We long to be in your presence. We long to see what you're doing and how you're moving. And so, Lord, just speak to us this morning through your word. Inform us, correct us, transform us. Do whatever you need to do this morning through the power of your word. And as always, we take authority over the atmosphere in this room, and we bind any spirit that would cause a distraction in the name of Jesus. Amen. And causing someone back pain is a distraction. We bind any spirit that would cause doubt in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause one to feel inferior in the name of Jesus. And we bind any spirit that would block someone from receiving and understanding the truth in the name of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit may speak and move and have his way in this place. And Holy Spirit, we long for you to come and take control of this atmosphere and us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week I had talked about the mission of God. What is it? What is the mission of God, and how are we to join him on mission? And we looked at Matthew 28, Jesus' final words to his disciples, where he gave them the Great Commission. And we realized that a big part of being on mission with God is to take the gospel to all nations. Then we also looked at how God is a God of the nations. In fact, in the NIV, it says the word nations 537 times. And so we are to take the gospel and to reach all of those nations across the street and around the world. Now, today's message is closely tied to last week's message. Just as God is a God of all nations, so God is a God of justice. Just as God commanded his disciples to take the gospel to all nations, God commands his disciples to seek after justice. And just as God calls us across the street and around the world for the gospel, so we are called across the street and around the world to seek justice. So another part of the mission of God is to seek after justice. Amen? Well, not nearly as often as it was with the word nations. In the NIV, we see the word justice used 130 times. That's still a pretty high frequency. And it's referring either to the justice of God, the injustice of man, or the pursuit of justice by his followers. Now, if you do just a real quick survey, you'll see that the subject of justice was a major theme of all of the Old Testament prophets. This idea of justice just kept coming up again and again and again. In fact, it was the most major theme of the prophet Isaiah. He uses the word justice 29 times. In just the book of Isaiah. Justice was also a major theme for Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Amos. It's mentioned in Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, and Malachi, or the Italian prophet Malachi. And I think if God were to send an Old Testament prophet here today, that kind of Old Testament prophet, I think the theme would still be justice, don't you? Now, I want to begin to look at Jesus' life for just a minute, and then we'll get to that passage in Proverbs. The idea of justice is also a major theme for Jesus in his ministry. This was a big part of his mission. So I want to briefly look at the justice ministry of Jesus. I don't necessarily want you to turn to all these passages because you'll be flipping and not listening, but we're going to have them on the screen. So I'm going to start with Matthew 12, verse 18. It says this, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations." We see justice to nations in one verse here, don't we? But this was to be the major hunk, the major mission of Jesus was to take justice to the nations. Right? Matthew 12, verse 20. Matthew 12, verse 20. "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory." Don't you love how that's worded? He's going to bring justice all the way through to victory. How does he do that? Well, that's what the cross is about, right? The essence of Jesus' victory on the cross was to bring justice. Jesus came to bring justice against Satan on our behalf on the cross. Here's another one, Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the most important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. A major theme in Jesus' complaints against the Pharisees is their lack of justice. Right? Jesus is constantly getting on the Pharisees, and when you look at all of that, what he's getting on them is their lack of justice. I have this thought that the expectation is the same for us today. Amen? Here's another one, Luke 18:7. Will God not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him night and day? Will he keep putting them off? See, it's God's desire. It's his essence to bring justice to his people. God hears the cries of his people. God hears the cries of the victims of injustice. But his method of bringing about justice is often us. Amen? Now, I want to move on to the Proverbs 31 passage that I talked about and what our role in bringing justice might look like. So Proverbs 31, verse 8. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all those who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Let's look at the grammar real quick, okay? You know how much I love to do that. In the beginning where it says, speak up for those, in the Hebrew, it's actually the verb for open your mouth. The writer is painting a very dramatic word picture. Open your mouth for the people who need justice. Then at the end of the verse where it says, for the rights of who are destitute, in the Hebrew, it's actually the word for vanishing. The New King James, I think I have this in there. The New King James brings this out really well. It says, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. It's pretty sobering. I have a friend who is a pastor and an attorney. He always talks about how we live in a world, in a society here in the United States, where we don't have a system of justice, we have rule of law. I never understood the difference until my friend explained this to me. Rule of law, however, is often not just and not fair. I have heard that approximately 80% of all attorneys globally practice in the United States. Because we have rule of law and we love our laws. But often when we think of justice, we think only of justice for ourselves. We think of making the laws work for us. Whether that is right and just or not. So there is a difference between law and justice. For example, someone can commit a crime but be let off because of a technicality in the law. That's why my friend is no longer an attorney. He's now a pastor because he would see people accused of very serious crimes get off because of a technicality in the law. And he realized that as a Christian, he wasn't being about justice as an attorney. He's since gone back into the practice of law, but in a very different way. So again, there's a difference between rule of law and justice, and rule of law isn't necessarily about justice. There's a difference. Now, this passage starts out by saying, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. This is often not how we see justice. And it's often not how we see rule of law. We see justice and law being there for our benefit. I mean, let's face it, right? We tend to see justice and law as being something there that's for me. But think about this. Jesus didn't die on the cross to seek justice for himself. He died on the cross to win justice for us. Now, here's where it gets tricky. It says to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. So, in other words, we don't hear them. They have no voice. And if we don't hear them, then we don't see their need for justice. And that's a prominent theme in our culture right now, isn't it? To seek first justice, this whole sermon series about seeking first the kingdom of God and all that that means. To seek first justice for those that need it the most means we're going to have to deliberately look for them. Like AJ, and I'm going to get to him in a minute. To seek justice first for those who need it the most, we are going to have to deliberately look for them because they have no voice, so we can't hear them or see them. Living out this command to seek justice won't just come real easy or naturally. Some effort and deliberateness will be required on our part. And we might have to put our own need for justice aside for the sake of the other. That is something, again, that is so countercultural. Me first, my rights, my rights, my rights, use the law for me. But when Jesus says, seek justice, and the Old Testament prophets say, seek justice, sometimes our justice has to take a back seat to their need for justice. And after all, that's what Jesus did. He put aside his rights and his potential need for justice to win justice for us. Amen? Now, verse 9. So speak up and fairly judge. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Again, it starts with open your mouth and judge righteously. And again, I think I had that in the NIV, or the New King James as well. This verse largely says the same thing, but adds this part about judging rightly. When we judge, when it is within our power and authority, we are to judge and do so with justice and fairness, but justice and fairness for the other person. This seems like a no-brainer to us, but yet it's not the norm of the world that we live in. Especially if you travel in a third world country, the corruption within the justice system is unreal. But not that we don't have lots of corruption in our own systems, right? But he's saying if you're going to call on the name of God, if you're a follower of God, then you have to judge rightly and fairly for justice. I want to look at one more passage in Proverbs. You're almost there. Just turn back to the book of Proverbs 29. We're going to look at verse 7. Proverbs 29, verse 7. Says this, says the righteous care about the justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concerns. Let's break this apart a little bit. If we're going to call ourselves followers of Jesus, then we are to care about justice, right? Says the righteous care about justice. This is what I thought was interesting. I got out this text in the Hebrew and I started looking at it in the Hebrew. And the word here, to care, in Hebrew, is the Hebrew verb to know, yada. Okay? So it says, you could render it, the righteous know about justice, right? It's the Hebrew verb yada. So why does the NIV translate it as care? Because this same verb, yada, to know, can also speak of intimacy. All right? So without being too graphic, throughout the Old Testament in several places where it talks about a husband knowing his wife, it's this verb, yada. So as a husband can yada his wife, so we are to yada justice. Yeah, it's that level of intimacy, it's that level of knowledge Just the way a man can know his wife, are we to care about this issue of justice? Now, it's one thing to know about justice. It's one thing to know about the justice needed. It's another thing to care about the justice needed, isn't it? I can know that somebody or someone or a group of people needs justice, but it's a whole other thing for me to care enough to do something about it. And oftentimes, it's hard to care about that level of justice unless we know the people involved. Oftentimes, when I see or hear real calloused attitudes about those in need of justice, it's because they don't know the people. Which is another reason we go on mission with God across the street and around the world, is to get to know people and to get to know the people who have need of justice. Because once you get to know them, once you get to love them, once you get to enter into their world a little bit, now suddenly their need for justice becomes a very, very real thing for me. How can I let my brother or sister struggle? How can I let my brother or sister live in this system of injustice while I go home to my wonderful and very comfortable life? Now, in contrast, in this verse, it says that it's the wicked who don't care about justice. The phrase translated as "have no such concern" is from the Hebrew verb to discern or to perceive. So, in other words, their wicked nature or heart prevents them from even being able to understand or perceive the need for justice. The New King James renders it well. It says, "But the wicked does not understand such knowledge." Those who refuse to seek justice for those that need justice may in fact be prevented from even understanding the need because of the lack of Christ. We need the heart of Jesus to even see and understand the need for justice. This may explain in part the attitude in our culture right now. You see, this isn't a political issue. This is a human issue at the heart level. We need Jesus to even be able to understand this. And for Christians, it's an obedience issue. If I ignore the call to seek justice, then I am not obedient to the call of Christ. Now, let's get more specific for a minute. And who are these voiceless people who need justice? Deuteronomy 10, starting at verse 17, gives us a little glimpse. It says, "For the Lord, your God, is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome." That's a worship service happening right there. "Shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt." So just in these three verses, we see some of those voiceless people. Victims of corruption, children, orphans, widows, foreigners. Looking at other passages throughout Scripture, we see God demand justice for slaves, the hungry, the exploited, the oppressed, and the elderly. Believe it or not, God actually commands in Scripture that we pay fair wages. And in today's language, we could certainly add human trafficking. So what do we do? How do we take this command to seek justice and begin to apply it to our everyday life? I have a few thoughts. Number one, pray that God would open our hearts and our eyes to see. Remember, they are often voiceless, so they are hard to see and notice in the natural realm. But if we ask Jesus to help us see them, he will, because he is always attentive to their situation, right? The Luke passage we looked at said that he always hears the cry of those who are victims of injustice. And so And we know from the Proverbs passage that if our heart is not open, we may not see it. And so, number one, just pray, God, open my eyes. Where is the injustice all around me that I am not seeing? Number two, ask the Lord to give us an attitude check. That's always a hard one, isn't it? Ask the Lord to give us an attitude check. Sometimes we just have a poor attitude about this stuff. I have heard people tell me stuff like, why should I help them? No one ever helped me. Or can't they just help themselves? Here's something to keep in mind on this attitude issue. What goes around comes around. It's a spiritual principle. I knew this individual who was just so staunchly opposed to ever helping anybody. He had the can't they just help themselves attitude. This person's life situation has changed so dramatically that they are now 100% dependent on the help and care of others. Number three, separate the opinions from the facts. In this idea of justice, it gets a little murky sometimes because we love opinion. I read an article recently that said why facts don't change people's minds. We live in a post-fact world. But number three, separate the opinions from the facts. Opinion, the poor are lazy. Fact, the poor are often exploited and need justice. The products that we buy cheaply are usually cheap because they were made in a sweatshop with slave labor. We love to buy things very cheaply. We love to buy things very inexpensively. But who's paying the price for that? Someone is. Number four, ask Jesus to help us overcome the fear to get involved. Ask Jesus to help us overcome the fear to get involved. Sometimes the biggest barrier to us seeking justice is simply fear. I just want to keep to myself. I don't want to get in anybody's business. But wait a minute. Didn't Jesus get involved in our sin business? And he's taking care of that. He's taking care of our sin. And now he simply asks us to step into the idea of justice. He's already done the heavy lifting. Amen? Number five, don't get overwhelmed with the size of the need. When we start looking at the issue of injustice, it can quickly make our head spin and be like, oh my gosh. But as Mother Teresa used to say, just help the one in front of you. Just help the one in front of you. God is a God of justice, and we are on his mission. We don't have to do it all. We don't have to help everyone. We just have to be obedient to what he's called us to. Whether it's the one across the street or around the world. Number six, be willing to leave your comfort zone. Be willing to travel if needed. Those with the greatest need for justice might be the hardest to reach. Those with the greatest need for justice live in countries and within systems that have no justice. Mozambique. And finally, number seven, help fund organizations that fight for justice. Sometimes we can't be there. We don't have the means. We don't have the knowledge or the understanding. But we can help fund an organization that does. Something like UNICEF or World Vision that goes into places of the world that need justice and they fight for those people because they have the expertise and the experience and the wisdom to do that. Now, I've been talking about how our being on mission with God is both across the street and around the world. So now let's talk about across the street. Let's talk about little AJ. I was amazed at the amount of support that this community poured out for AJ this week. So many people showed up at his funeral that it caused a massive traffic jam. So how can we be about seeking justice for little AJ now that he's gone? Again, I have a few thoughts. Number one, get training to recognize the signs of child abuse. Get training to recognize the signs of child abuse. We as a church, I'm going to look in to see if we can find somebody that's an expert in that realm and possibly even offer training here at the church. How do we recognize the signs of child abuse? You know, a lot of people did with AJ. Unfortunately, that wasn't the issue. But it's still a way that we can fight for justice for children is to simply be trained in what child abuse looks like. Number two, write a letter to lawmakers to demand reform in the system. Be careful with this one. Please do not attack people. There are good people working within the system, but they're working within a bad system. So let's not get angry and call names to DCFS workers or state workers or police or whatever, but let's demand from our lawmakers that they reform the system. I don't know what the problem with the system is. Is it corruption? Is it lack of funding? Is it lack of training? I don't know. But we as the citizens of this community can demand that our lawmakers make significant improvements within the system structures so that little AJs won't get failed again in the future. Number three, become an advocate. There's an organization here locally called CASA. It's a children's rights advocacy program, and you can go and you can volunteer, and you can become an advocate for someone who is voiceless. That's the whole point of the agency, is you become the voice of someone that has no voice. Aaron's wife, Sam, is in the program. I bet you that if little AJ had an advocate, it would have turned out different. The whole thing with AJ was dependent upon the system working, and the system failed. A way to circumvent that is to have personal individuals as advocates. If AJ had an advocate, that advocate could have fought for him. Number four, support other local organizations that deal with issues like domestic violence and abuse. Here locally, we've got two outstanding organizations, Turning Point and Home of the Sparrow. Support them financially or volunteer. Support them in whatever way that you can, because, again, they bring treatment and preventative and training in issues of domestic violence and abuse. Number five, pray. Pray to break the power of spiritual strongholds over our community. Pray to break the spiritual strongholds of addiction. Pray to break the spiritual strongholds of anger and abuse, generational curses. I remember this years ago as a church, we read this book called Forgotten Power. It's a book on prayer. I believe the author's name was David Botts. And in that, he shared a little story about how they, a small church in a local town, was trying to see and demonstrate the power of prayer. And so what they decided to do is they picked the worst person, the person with the worst condition in their community. It was the town drunk. He was always passed out. He was always laying in the curb. He was always in the bars. Someone that had fallen under the power of that spirit of addiction. And so all the believers in the town began to pray in unity for this brother. And within 2 weeks, he was saved and sober. What would it look like if the believers began to earnestly pray against spirits of addiction? Spirits of anger. Spirits of unforgiveness. Those things that hold people in bondage. Number six. Pray that our hearts and eyes again would be open to see where the justice is needed. Again, it strikes me that there were so many people in AJ's life. Neighbors came forward after the fact and said, oh, I noticed a bruise. I noticed burns. I noticed this. And people at the daycare said, oh, I noticed this and I noticed that. But if we only see it in the physical realm, it never makes the connection. So pray, Jesus, open my eyes. As I move about my community, as I move about life, open my eyes into the spirit realm so I can see what is happening, so that I can get your heart and see where justice is needed. And then number 7, love. Love people. Gosh, we live in a world that is quick to condemn and quick to judge. It was funny that right after this tragedy with AJ, people were clamoring to see results and to see change and to see something made. And I had conversations with people that were eager to see those kinds of things. But I wonder how quickly that will fade. Once the memory of AJ begins to fade a little bit, become a little bit more distant, how much will the urgency to see change fade away? I think the thing that will fuel and continue to bring about the need for change is love. As we actively engage with loving the voiceless, our desire to see change will remain on fire. So that's what it looks like, practically speaking, to bring justice across the street. AJ lived right here on Dole Avenue in Crystal Lake. We've all probably driven past his house 100 times. What does it look like to bring justice around the world? Saw an interesting article this week online from, of all sources, Al Jazeera. Honestly, I believe they bring the most balanced news to the world. But Al Jazeera, in this article, made a very strong statement that if what happened in Mozambique had happened any other place in the world, the response would have been different. And then they actually went and they interviewed a UN official. And the UN official said the same thing. We've never seen a lack of response like this. If this tragedy had happened anywhere else in the world, the response would have been different. The first hurricane that hit Idai was the most powerful hurricane to ever hit the east coast of Africa. The second hurricane that hit Mozambique, Kenneth, became the strongest hurricane to ever hit the east coast of Africa. So they now have the first and second most powerful hurricanes ever hitting the same country in 6 weeks, and there has been virtually no global response. They estimated that the total need for relief and rebuilding efforts was going to be in the ballpark of about $700 million. $24 million has been raised. More than that was raised in one day to rebuild Notre Dame Cathedral. There's a need for justice for the people of Mozambique. And so as we begin to seek justice internationally, again, oh gosh, just pray. Pray because systems need to be changed. I get that. A lot of the international donors don't want to give to Mozambique because Mozambique is so corrupt. But we can pray that God would move and change systems. And we can financially support aid agencies that are reputable. Like us, the work that we're doing there, or Convoy of Hope is working there. But we have to do something. To be on mission with God is to partner with Him in seeking justice for those who cannot speak up for themselves. Now, here's your homework. Write these down. I like to give you homework on these messages so that you've got something to apply, to practice, to work on. This week's homework is fairly easy. Number 1, notice something this week. That's it. Notice something this week. Notice someone who needs justice, big or small. In the course of a week, you will come across someone who needs justice. Ask Jesus, open my eyes so that I might notice someone this week. And maybe it's someone right in front of you. Maybe it's somebody that you meet. But maybe it's somebody across the world and you just see about it on the news. But notice at least one person this week who needs justice, big or small. Number 1. Number 2, take action. Big or small, take action for Jesus. That action can be as simple as praying. Oh, I saw this need. This person needs justice. I'm going to pray. Or the action could be, I'm going to step in. I'm going to get involved in this situation. Or the action could be, I'm going to write a check to help fund something that's being done about this. But notice the need, take action. And then third, bring a testimony next week. Bring a testimony next week that you can share of what you saw and what you did. Because as we begin to get this, as we begin to press into this, it begins to grow legs and we'll run. Amen? All right, I'll call the worship team back up.